TK, what's going on? How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. What does that shirt say? I only see LIFO.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm the extroverted CPA, as you know from LinkedIn, so I'm LIFO the party. What about you? You got something on over there?
Yeah, I do. It's not just a black shirt. It actually says it's a cruel world.
Funny.
So speaking of a cruel world, what's all this nonsense with Cecil?
Well, first, I think we need to explain what CECL is, right? So CECL is the expected credit losses on financial instruments. And so when we talk about CECL, we're talking about exchange transactions, those that fall under Topic 606, which, as you know, are those that are really relevant to those people that are getting payment or services for a commensurate value. Now, there are other things that fall under the CECL in terms of, let's say, loans and those types of other things. There's a whole list. There's also things that are specifically excluded, but I know we're speaking a lot to the not-for-profit business. So from that standpoint, I just wanted to highlight that's going to be the main emphasis for them.
So what then is really different about the existing standard, basically covering allowances for doubtful accounts and all of that?
Yeah, so when we talk about, again, those expected credit losses, nearly every organization likely has some kind of a credit loss. It may be minimal, it may be a lot, depending on the types of transactions, the volume of transactions that you have rolling through. But at the same time, when we're talking about that allowance, if you remember, we're looking back into the past, right? And that's really where the allowance is. People would set allowance based on a trend analysis or based on collectibility from a historical standpoint for those specific customers. But now we're really taking that into play as well as moving forward into the future. I mean, the pandemic hit us and hit us hard, right? And so a lot of those economic conditions that were coming out from the pandemic is really where this is kind of stemming from because we couldn't see that really necessarily coming, but now the Financial Accounting Standards Board is like, well, we really need to start thinking about those types of implications on specific customers, their industries that they're in, as well as the industry of play for the specific business and entity.
And that focus that you mentioned, as far as now looking more into the future to assess this kind of credit loss, that seems to be in line with the general trend as far as gap with now this whole focus on going concern. Like that analysis involves a lot of looking into the future because you can't really assess that without doing so.
True, very true, very true. Yeah. And so now we're not only looking at our organizations from a going concern perspective that we're doing an audit on per se, right? They need to also be thinking about their particular customers that they're dealing with as well from that perspective. Insolvency, bankruptcy, things that could potentially affect them from a payment standpoint if anything's outstanding at year end.
And you mentioned it earlier, but like in what you're finding with your audits that you've conducted so far that are subject to this now implementation of CECL, how many of them on the nonprofit side, what is the real implication? I mean, how much of their analysis is really impacted now?
Yeah, so when we look at our nonprofits, I really want to segregate some of the different types of nonprofits, right? A lot of our charitable organizations are C3s, the ones that don't necessarily operate, for instance, as a C6. We don't really see a lot of impact on them. Why? Because they don't really tend to have a lot of those types of transactions and financial instruments, as FASB calls them, that really fall under the standard. Contributions are specifically excluded. So the majority of those types of works are excluded. C4s, same thing, right? But when you look at the C6s, we're starting to see a little bit of an impact on them. Organizations that maybe didn't necessarily have an allowance set, but they kind of looked at their collections each year and said, hey, this one's no longer collectible after a year. We're just going to write it off. Now we're having to take that bad debt into play and looking at it from a trend analysis, from a look back, but then also saying, okay, what's the movement in the future, especially if you have things that have been outstanding by the time we come to the audit more than a year. Obviously, there's some kind of an implication there because when we talk about the CECL standard and a lot of organizations are trying to come across with this, it's a short-term receivable, it's collectible after year end, but the short-term receivables are really in line with those. Think about the credit card transactions, right? So you may have earned or had a payment for some type of transaction and it's settled within 3 to 4 business days, let's say, that's the short term the standard's really talking about. So we really need to be mindful of that. I'm not saying it's going to be a huge impact. Some organizations are obviously not going to have anything significant, but management at least has to perform some kind of an evaluation and analysis. And there definitely at least has to be a policy in place.
Yeah. And I think that's the key point here is that, I mean, I know going back to my audit days, whenever you had the right, whenever you had the chance to like implement some kind of practical expedient or say like, you kind of skirt around by saying like, yeah, I've done the analysis, not material, let's move on. This right. doesn't really work in this case because you actually have to show that you did the analysis to be able to say that. And that involves a lot of what you've already discussed.
Yeah, because in all honesty, it's hard for us to determine if something is really material or not because it's management's decision, right?
Right.
We can look at from an old standpoint on the allowance and say, okay, you have X amount of outstanding accounts receivable that are greater than a year, we would say that at least should be allowed for and determine if it's material or not. But when it comes to now this expected credit loss, it's harder for us because there's so much subjectivity that goes into determining what those adjustments are up and down based on economic conditions and based on the look back analysis as well, and determining what type of model you're utilizing to develop that credit loss. So yes, management from our standpoint should be performing that analysis and should at least have some kind of a policy in place. That's really their responsibility.
Mm-hmm. What about the disclosures? Like how intrusive, how difficult is it to implement the standard as far as the disclosures that are now going to be required?
Yeah, disclosures in and of themselves aren't too difficult from a Lyft perspective. It's really just a roll forward. What's the expected credit loss allowance at the beginning of the year, plus any additions that you have, any write-offs or recoveries coming down to your net balance. That's really all that's really changing here for the disclosures.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the most important question is, let's assess your ability to predict the future. How many nonprofits or just general organizations do you think are going to get this right in the first year of implementation?
Get it right? I don't think there's a right answer. So okay. I'm not going to answer that question. There's not necessarily a right answer because again, it's management's responsibility. It's their subjectivity. In terms of what we can help and do to offer, you know, Yev, you are working with your team. I'm working with my team, but we've held workshops. We're probably getting ready to hold another workshop. We've got a lot of resources on our website. It's a webinar that's been recorded on it. There's a lot of availability out there now of different places to go to be able to determine what you need to do. And so we're always here. We're always willing. You know, the auditor is not the bad guy. We want to be the life of the party.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's true. So, that's true. Or at least set you up so that you can party after implementing this, right?
There you go.
Nice. Cool.
Here's
all right. No, that sounds good. I think that all makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a cruel world. What can you say?
Yeah, it certainly is. It feels like every few years there's a new standard coming out and we're all scrambling to try to figure it out. But I think this one, it seems to me like it's not super, super prescriptive as far as like from the audit perspective. There's no, like you just said, there's no right answer. I think what you're kind of looking for is reasonableness of the future, of the analysis of the future, like something that justifies their estimates, whatever it is, I'm assuming, and their analysis to how they came to their expected percentage of credit losses, whatever it is, right? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We're really looking for a rationale and an estimation and an understanding of how you developed that estimate, that evaluation, how you did that. So that's really where we're coming from. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you as always for your insight, for all your help.
You're welcome.